Yes, that lion boy's on the right, babe.
Has been a while.
Not that Maggie. Back in town. Look out, old Maggie.
Yeah, football's back. That was nice.
Chris McMahon.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yeah. How we doing, 202, on this Football Friday morning? You know how it works. I got you for 3 hours till the warm-up show at 5-888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side. Marco's with us doing updates. We'll have picks. We'll do it all as we started football last night. And what a doozy to start the regular season. I wanted that two-point conversion. Damn that toe. A toe. One more hill to climb, baby. I had to do it. It's probably not that funny, but I had to do it. But obviously, last night, incredible game. Came down to the last play. So many different things to break down. And here's where I just want to start. With the beginning of the year, the defending champs doing what they do. And that's really what I want to talk about. Because I heard a little bit of, or I saw more than I heard. Evan, and he's talked about this. How much do you hate the Chiefs? Are the Chiefs becoming the New England Patriots? And I know, if you've listened to me, I'm sick of Tom Brady. I became sick of seeing Tom Brady in every single AFC championship game. I got tired of it. Right? Not so much, I know, Giant fans. Why do you hate Tom Brady? You beat him twice in the Super Bowl. I don't know, because it started to feel like the people believe the NFL wouldn't be the NFL without Tom Brady in the AFC championship game. And it's starting to feel like that with the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not on the same level, but God knows, you know, with Kelce and his girlfriend. As they tried to cut to every single chance they get. But I don't even care about that. And I still have not got there with this team. They still play great games. Patrick Mahomes is so fun to watch. The offense they play. But I'm just wondering now, right? Forget how much we hate them. Forget how much you're getting sick of them. Forget how much anything about us. The rest of the NFL, as last year, they were ripe for the taking. Last year, they had a miserable offensive season. They were not themselves all year. Kelce wasn't Kelce. The offense really struggled for them, at least. And it just felt like as they were going on the road in the playoffs, this was the year that someone was going to trip them up. Specifically, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, MVP last year. Josh Allen, obviously, one of the great quarterbacks in the league. It was their year to finally, with them coming to your building, and they couldn't get it done. And now I'm wondering when the hell, or who the hell more specifically, is going to figure. Now, I know this is week one, right? And this game wouldn't have changed anything. The Chiefs could have still been, and probably still would have been, in the AFC Championship game. Still have a great year. They're going to win their division by a million games. And it would have come down to who beats them in the playoffs. But opening the season, Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, who went into this game, and it wasn't going to be like last year, right? I mean, they've gotten three new offensive linemen. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to be better. They added Xavier Worthy, who has two touchdowns in this game, and obviously that's one of the first talking points on the first touchdown. How did the Bills allow this to happen? How did the Bills trade with the Chiefs to allow them to come up and take the fastest receiver in the sport, who looks explosive in this game? How did you allow Patrick Mahomes to get this weapon? How did you give? If it happens, it happens. If he falls to him, he falls to him. But you knew exactly what you were doing when you made the trade and gave them the pick. You knew where they were going to go. They needed wide receivers. And you allow it to happen. And I know things go the... I almost called them the Patriots there. Freudian slip. Things go the Kansas City Chiefs way, whether it's all the illegal procedures to start the game, which, You know, the league's got to get a hold on it. And let's be fair, the Ravens have to get a hold on it. This we rant and rave about how well coached this Harbaugh team is, year in and year out, how well coached they are, how well prepared they are. And yet, to start the game, they don't know where to line up. And I know it's inconsistent and it's frustrating and no one likes it. And it's, you know, they're trying to emphasize it and they're probably calling it very tight. I get it. You know what? Be better. And yes, you could point to a handful of things that go the Kansas City Chiefs' way, whether it's, you know, the defensive coordinator allowed to call a timeout when that's not allowed to happen, or the Pacheco touchdown where it seems like he was allowed to stand to the goal line and even go backwards before getting into the end zone without the whistle blown, or the amount of, it seemed like, false starts the Chiefs actually committed that wasn't called. I get it, right? Things went their way a lot of times, but Lamar Jackson and the Ravens had a chance to win this game. All of that said, whether it's abandoning the run like they did in the championship game last year, and, you know, early on that first drive, they go down the field and Henry's running the ball, and he wasn't devastatingly like explosive, but he gets into the end zone. They run in the football going down the field, and then really the rest of the game, the offense kind of just becomes Lamar Jackson running around. And he makes plays. He's great at it. And he's got, you know, Zay Flowers, who's an explosive wide receiver. Looks like, you know, great in this game. And obviously, Isaiah Likely, who, you know, as, and I know it hasn't been really talked about, but fantasy football fans who had Andrews, or you had Andrews in a touchdown prop bet or whatever, I mean, he's nowhere to be found in this game. Everything is going to Likely. Everything. But they've got weapons now with two tight ends. You've got Zay Flowers. You don't have much there else in the... You got Flowers. You don't have much else in the wide receiver game. But every opportunity to win this game, and they make mistake after mistake. The offense is just pretty much running the ball with Lamar Jackson, having him drop back, make plays, run around, no real design. It just seemed very backyard ball. And even despite that, I mean, then you play them tight at different times in the game defensively, and you allow a broken play to Xavier Worthy. You let him get behind you. All the different mistakes this team made, the penalties that cost them. You caught a break with hitting Mahomes outside the white line the first time. You do it again late in the game that costs you an opportunity to end the drive right there and give you more time offensively to go down the field. Then you get to the clock management at the end when you obviously need to spike the ball. I mean, what are you doing running up to the line? And if you're going to run up to the line, you have got to be, talk about being well coached. The offense has to have a play in mind. You know you don't have a timeout. There has to be a play. If we're down the field, if we make a big play, we run to the line and run this. We run to the line and you run it out. You run an inseam. You run this, whatever we got. Instead, he's barking plays, clock ticking and ticking and ticking, instead of just spiking the football. And then, of course, Lamar Jackson misses not just the one to Flowers, but he misses the Likely in the corner of the end zone when he got hurt on that play. He's got him for a touchdown there. He's obviously got Flowers wide open. Lamar Jackson can't miss that throw. Who is going to step up? When is someone going to step up and beat this Kansas City team? And I know, you know, we know Burrow's done it in the big spot in the championship game, and he's been hurt so much, and maybe they can do it. But who's going to step up? Because you know what? As good as the Ravens may be, and I know they lost their defensive coordinator, who's out in Seattle, who's, you know, considered the Sean McVay of defense. And I know they lost three different offensive linemen. And early on in this game, Chris Jones is dominating the football game. And they're having, you know, real tough time getting pressured to the point where you saw Lamar Jackson, you know, screaming at his offensive line on the sidelines. But I no longer have any faith. And I know it's game, I know it's week one. But that's, you know, obviously the whole world watching, start the season trying to get revenge for the championship game, make a statement, go in there and beat this Kansas City Chiefs team, and Lamar Jackson cannot do it. And Josh Allen can't do it. So who is going to step up and beat this Kansas City Chiefs team? Who's going to be the team that does it? And I'll tell you who. as we get ready to start this season, I will tell you who. A New York Jet team led by one of the great quarterbacks to ever play the game. With a defense that's as loaded as any in this league. With a defensive backfield good enough. With a defensive line, even without the holdout of Haason Reddick, good enough to get after him. This is the year for the Jets to be the team to step up and be that team, because I don't trust Buffalo to do it. I don't trust Miami to do it. I don't trust Buffalo, the Ravens. We've seen it now. They can't win this game. Lamar Jackson, for all of his talent, all of his ability, all his MVPs, when it comes down to it, he's got a wide-open receiver, and he missed him. And I know he does throw the touchdown pass, and it's by a toe, but you know what? Them's the breaks. And he clearly was out of bounds. He had two opportunities before that to put it in the end zone. And it was bad clock management. It was bad, procedural effort at the start of the game and all those penalties. You got sloppy defense. I don't trust this Ravens team to beat Kansas City. I don't trust the Bills team. We're going to have to see if Joe Burrow can ever stay healthy, because clearly he's done it. And maybe that's a team that can do it this year coming out of the AFC North. But I'm telling you, if there's any team that can do it, and as we look at all the pretenders that had a chance last year and they're showing us again this year they can't do it, let's see if Aaron Rodgers and this Jet team can do it. Because that's what I'm thinking, right? I've been debating whether or not, I've been saying they're going to be in the AFC Championship game. I love them on Monday night. Little preview to the pick segment coming up. But someone's got to step up and make the big plays that beat this Kansas City Chiefs team. Because right now, nobody does it. And yes, they're great. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. They're great. Patrick Mahomes is great. He makes the plays. They had an opportunity. Lamar Jackson, as poor as this offense played at times, as many mistakes as they made on both offense and defense, they had an opportunity, and they consistently shot themselves in the foot. Consistently. And you look at how they folded in the championship game last year and reverted right back to this type of team where they put the ball in Lamar Jackson's hands instead of doing what they did all year long and run the football. Yeah, the Buffalo Bills, one of the hottest teams in the NFL, got off to a miserable start, won 5-6 games in a row to win that division, had the Kansas City Chiefs ready to come into their building. They couldn't do it either. So when I look around the landscape of this AFC and I try and figure out who's going to pick off the big bad Kansas City Chiefs, who's going to take down Mahomes? Who's going to take down Andy Reid? Who's going to stop them? When I look at the rest of the top of the league, I don't trust it. There has to be a new guy on the playground. There has to be a new kid coming up. And I know he's old. But I honestly think we forget how good Aaron Rodgers is, to quote the great Mike Francesa, as I saw him tweet out today. We forget how good he is. And this team has the weapons. It has the offense. And I know we're worried about how they're coached. I get it. They have a coach on the field in Aaron Rodgers, and he hasn't won the big game, right? He hasn't won enough. He's won one Super Bowl with all the ability he's had, all the teams he's had, he lost to the Giants when they were 15-1 coming off a Super Bowl. You know, he's lost big games left and right. Can't beat Tom Brady. Can't beat the Lions at home. His last game as a Packer. This team has the ability. This is as good a team as Aaron Rodgers has ever played with. I fully believe that. This is as good a defense as Aaron Rodgers has ever had. This is as good a running back wide receiver tandem. This is the team to do it. Someone's got to do it. And I don't trust Lamar Jackson. Even watching this game, I don't trust him. I don't trust this Ravens team. I don't trust the Buffalo Bills. We'll see if Burrow can stay healthy. That's a legitimate team. Obviously beat them in the championship game, and he's a proven winner, but we'll see. I think top to bottom, soup to nuts, I think the Jets are a more talented team than Cincinnati. So as we're watching to start the year and we're trying to figure out who's going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, why not start the year with some optimism about the New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers, this defense? Because you know what? If they go out on Monday and they beat a San Francisco 49ers team that's as talented as any, that has had some turmoil in this offseason, that had to pay a couple of guys, including the best left tackle in football, who just got to camp this week. If they can go out there on the road Monday night, Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy and they can beat the 49ers, that's a statement. And as every other statement been made in the AFC is, we can't beat them. We could be better than them, can't beat them. We could have them in our building, we can't beat them. We could have them on the ropes with an ability to win the game with a wide open wide receiver. We won't get it done. Who will? Who will? Because as much as I'm not quite tired of them the way I am in the Patriots, and as much as they get the breaks, like I said, there was a handful of things in this game. Handful of things. Defensive coordinator allowed to call timeout. Isaiah Pacheco allowed to just hang out at the goal line for 45 seconds without the whistle being blown. There are things that went their way, no doubt. They're the champs. But I'm sick and tired of watching these other great players and these other great teams vomit all over themselves instead of making the plays they need to make to win the game. And as we start the year, like a lot of the question mark is you look at how loaded this team is, and they've added Xavier Worthy, who looks like an extremely explosive player, and we talked about the Buffalo Bills and how you allowed that to happen. But as we start this year, the national question might be, especially in the lousy division they play, I mean, they're almost a lock for the one seed. You know, that they just went away into making that even more of a reality by winning game one against Baltimore. But barring major injury, and no one's rooting for that, don't get me wrong, barring major injury to Patrick Mahomes, this Kansas City Chiefs team is going to be the 1-2 seed. They're going to be the best team in the AFC. They're two-time defending champs. Who's going to stop the three-peat? And I consistently see the other quote-unquote contenders in the AFC fall short time and time and time again. It's time for some new blood. And the old man from Green Bay is just the guy to do it in a nice new green uniform. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So that's how we'll tie in our local football games. We'll get to the picks. We'll get to breaking down the Giants as well. I have a lot of thoughts on Coach Dable in this game. I have a lot of thoughts on the quarterback playing the one team that he made his bones and made his $40 million contract against, going against Sam Darnold, who we all know very well here in New York. So that's a fascinating game. We got the Jets taking on one of the best teams in football. A Super Bowl hangover, we hope, on Monday night, plus everything else. And we will get to, if you'd like to, the Yankees and the Mets. Everyone lost around the Mets. The Mets are now officially tied in the wild card playoff pennant race. Baseball is upon us. The Yankees get ready to start a series later today in Chicago in desperate need of a wake-up call. And yet, a certain someone is down in AAA hitting home runs on a nightly basis.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 225, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens fall 27-20 to the Kansas City Chiefs on the opening night of the NFL season as we get ready, and they lost by a toe. And I know I'm not trying to kill them. I know the Chiefs are really good. Chiefs definitely got breaks in this game, no doubt about it. And they were a toe short from doing what this, let's be honest, this game was a lot of fun to watch. And what they needed was that two-point conversion. And the idea that Harbaugh already gave you the two and you knew it was coming, and then to have it taken away, because you want to see the game on the line right there. Now, look, I'll be honest with you. I bet Kansas City, so I wasn't thrilled about it, but still, the game deserved that. The game deserved to come down to that two-point conversion. And, I mean, Isaiah Likely is a legitimate weapon. Now, I don't know why Andrews wasn't featured more, and I don't know why, you know, what Likely have 111 yards, 9 catches, and almost 2 touchdowns, And Andrews, he caught two passes in one of them. He went straight down to the ground. Now, I know he missed some time in camp, but he didn't have a health, he didn't have an injury designation heading into this game. But they've got two legitimate tight ends. They got Flowers, and they got Henry, who, you know, ran the ball all right. They didn't stick with it enough. You know, he's had very good numbers against Kansas City in his career. And, you know, they just got away from it. Lamar Jackson did all the running in this game. Now, don't get me wrong. He's excellent at it. I think there was one or two plays where I think he took on the defense, which was a mistake. You got to stay healthy. That's part of it. You're going to run like this. He can't, like, that's the other thing, too, is as talented as he is at running the football and as much of a playmaker, we talk about this with Daniel Jones, like, he can't play every game like that. Now, I know this is a special game playing the defending two-time Super Bowl champions, a team you want to try and make a statement against. He won't have to nor want to play every week like this. But you got to be careful. And he's ducking his, he's, you know, leading with his shoulder into defensive backs instead of just running out of bounds. You got to be smarter about it. But you can't miss Flowers in the end zone. Plain and simple. You want to beat the Chiefs? When you want to step up and beat the Chiefs. And to me, that's what, like, you're trying to find a way to beat them, right? I know I'm not into horse racing. I have a couple friends who are, and that's trying to find a way to beat the favorite, right? You're trying to find a way. That's a gambler's term, but the NFL right now is trying to find a way to stop this juggernaut that is the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you want to do it, you can't miss your wide-open wide receivers. And you can't have an opportunity late in the game with like 5 or 6 minutes left and have a holding call that could have set the Chiefs back to second and 20 at the time. And you can't hit Mahomes at the knees 3 steps out of bounds. Like, you can't do stupid things like that. You can't watch the clock tick instead of just spiking it, which is what they should have done, or at the very least have some sort of, you know, emergency. They know they don't have a timeout. You make a big play down the field, and in the middle of the field, you have to have the quick play set. Like, you have to have that in place. You can't be standing there calling audibles at the line, wasting all that time. Not if you want to beat Patrick Mahomes. And when I look around the landscape, is it going to be CJ Stroud? Is it going to be this young, you know, second-year team, this Houston team that's proven to be well-coached, that obviously CJ Stroud's an incredible player? And they've got some weapons themselves, and they added more, and they added some offensive linemen. And, you know, they're a little bit of a chic Super Bowl contender. Is that the team that's going to do it? Is Joe Burrow going to stay healthy? Is Chase going to play? Are they the team that's going to do it? Or could it be the New York Jets? And I know that sounds crazy. The New York Jets haven't made the playoffs in 13 years. Aaron Rodgers didn't play more than 4 snaps last year. He wasn't particularly himself the last year he was playing football for the Green Bay Packers, but I still believe in Aaron Rodgers, and I believe in this roster. And someone's going to have to do it. And if I look at this, you know, this team right now, I believe Aaron Rodgers won't miss that wide-open receiver. And I believe Aaron Rodgers, and hopefully this team can be smarter than that. Now, we got to see if they can be it. But this has been 2 years in the making, right? And I'll get into this a little bit more when we come to the picks. Like, I just feel like, you know, the 49ers have kind of just, you know, obviously they've been to the Super Bowl. They're extremely well-coached. They got a great roster. They got back their all-world left tackle that actually moved the line a point, a full point. Now, I know he's the best left tackle in football. It's an extremely important position, but I didn't know anybody else but a quarterback could move a line a full point in a day. But they just got back Ayuk. They just got back Trent Williams. They've had a lot of turmoil, who to pay. There's been a lot going on. They're just getting ready for this game now. This is 2 years in the making for the New York Jets. They've been ready for this, prepared for this, getting this offense, right? Like, this has been a long time coming. And if they can win this game and you look at the rest of their season, or at least the start of their season, if this Jet team gets off to a phenomenal start, including beating the NFC champ last year, I talk a lot about confidence, and I think, you know, just by the nature of the sport and the nature of the amount of games they play, like if you get off to an incredible start, and this team that's been waiting for Aaron Rodgers for a full year now, if he goes out there, plays well, they win a big game as a 4.5-point underdog on Monday night on the road to the defending NFC champions, and then they go on a run and start this thing 6-0, 7-1. The belief factor in that room is going to be through the roof. And you know Haason Reddick is eventually going to come back. He's playing this game. I don't understand it. He's hoping that either he or the Jets or some other team are desperate for a edge rusher, another contender who'd be willing to trade with the Jets, or I guess that's his game right now. But eventually, he's got to play football this year. And I would just venture to guess that as I look around the AFC, I don't know if there's another team more suited to take care of business. Now, they look dangerous, and this is why last year was so important to pick this team off. And I don't know if you hate Kansas City, and I haven't gotten to the point where I'm saturated with them the way I became saturated with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the greatest ever. Like, that conversation just got tiresome for me. Like, every time they play a big playoff game, if they win this game, does this make them the greatest coach quarterback tandem of all time? And blah, blah, blah. What does this mean for their legacy? Blah, like, it just became... It became exhausting. And the NFL is so good a product, and the game is so much fun, that I just felt like you don't need it. And you don't need the Kansas City Chiefs either. And right now, they're eventually going to become the villain, if they haven't been already. Who is going to ride in on that white horse? Not to mention anything Clay Holmes related. But who's going to ride in on that white horse and beat this team and not make the mistakes that Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens made last night? And it was a great game. And, you know, we've talked about, too, like, the product of the NFL to start the year with training camps being what they are now, right? With the one less preseason game, the amount of time teams actually play in the preseason, the amount of hitting they do, the amount of two-a-days that are now, the amount of practices with pads on, like, the way they ease in to the start of the season has really felt like, for a lot of it, it's led to poor football. Now, again, there were mistakes made procedurally, late hits, bad penalties, poor clock management. I mean, that's stuff that I didn't expect necessarily from a John Harbaugh-led football team. But other than that, I thought the game was played relatively crisp. It was an awesome game. It was a lot of fun. It was exciting. There was big-time plays, as we saw from Worthy, who, again, I don't know how he's on this team. I don't know how the Buffalo Bills specifically allowed this to happen. But his first touch in the NFL is a 20-plus yard scamper into the end zone. Then you have a broken play and allow him just to be alone behind the defense. It's just amazing to me. It is amazing to me how this Chiefs team continues to do this. And how Lamar Jackson specifically, and really the two quarterbacks you're talking about, are Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. And how they can't figure out a way to beat this team. They just can't do it. They can't. And it's like both frustrating to watch and both amazing to watch this Kansas City team. And look, they got breaks. Again, Spagnuolo's calling timeouts. Not allowed to do it. It looked like at least two false starts that weren't called. There were a bunch of, and then again, the Pacheco touchdown. That play was dead. That play, we've all watched games in the NFL. That play is whistled dead 9 times out of 10. He started to go backwards. And then, of course, the game ends with a toe being on the line. And that was one of the, I mean, that's one of the more memorable opening games to a season. Last year, the Chiefs obviously lost to Dan Campbell, Jared Goff, and the Lions. The Lions figured out how to do it. But that was a different team. That Chiefs team wasn't as good as I think this team is going to be. And it took them really up until the playoffs before they got hot and became themselves. But it's not just that. It's also, it feels like these teams see that red uniform, see Andy Reid in his Hawaiian shirt and his diner menu play calling sheet, and they see Patrick Mahomes come in and they fold. And they make the big mistake trying to do, I don't know if it's trying to do too much or whatever the case may be, but they make these big mistakes. And this New York Jet team, who's been as penalized as anyone, right? And that's part of the reason we don't trust it, right? It's part of the reason you got to see it before you'll believe it, because you don't trust the coach as a leader of men. You don't trust the coach with clock management, which we saw yesterday. You don't trust the coach with penalties, which we saw yesterday. And that's all got to change, but I think they're talented enough, and I believe in Aaron Rodgers. And I know he's had his issues in the playoffs, don't get me wrong, but I honestly don't know if he's had a defense as good as this. We can say it all we want, how good the Packers have been. You know why the Packers have been good? And we talk about, well, if he couldn't win with the Packers, well, he made the Packers. He was the reason they won that division every year. He's the reason they won 12, 13 games every single year. He was. Now, Devontae Adams is a great player, and they had a tandem of, you know, Aaron Jones and Dylan in the backfield. And at times they had better offensive lines than some, and sometimes they had decent defenses and good defensive players. But for the most part, I don't know if their rosters were as good as this Jet roster team can be. And as they're sitting there watching it like everybody else, as they sit around last night, getting together, hopefully, getting their wings, getting their pizza. I think I'm going to make pulled pork. I'm looking forward to it. I took the pork shoulder out of the... I froze it. I bought it like, you know, 2 weeks ago. But I put it in the fridge today to defrost for the next couple of days. I'm going to try and smoke some pulled pork. Everybody's doing something on Sunday. That's it. Now our Sundays are ocupado. That's it. We're busy. Football Sunday. But as everybody's sitting around watching this game, that's what the Jets should be focused on. The Jets should be, we are not going to be the team that folds. And I know you got to crawl before you walk and walk before you run. I get it. Go beat the 49ers. Go have the start of the season you're talking about, Chris, before you could say they can go beat the Chiefs. I get it. I'm having a little fun here on the eve of this football season, but I do believe it. I do think they are as good as anyone in the AFC, this side of the Chiefs. And I do believe they're a team that can go out there and figure out a way to beat the Chiefs. I think that's where, as we stand here, as the baseball season comes to its conclusion, the Mets are as hot as anybody. They are now tied for that third wild card spot, and we have a 20-plus game push to the postseason, and the Yankees are now, you know, a half a game back of the Baltimore Orioles for the division, and we have a push for that division title, and we'll get into the playoffs, and hopefully both teams will be playing playoff games, and we'll be chasing championships alongside the NFL here as we talk about what team is good enough to bring a championship to this city. Unfortunately for me, I think the Giants could have a hell of a season. I certainly think the Giants have an opportunity to win this game on Sunday, and they have an opportunity to surprise me, and Daniel Jones has an opportunity to shut us all up. And I actually think they have a chance to be a decent football team, but I don't know if they can win. Not win-win. This New York Jet team is good enough, and I'm tired of watching these teams fold around the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm tired of watching it. And I'm getting tweets now like, yeah, they get every call. They do. A lot of things happen. A lot of things have, you know, I get it. A lot of things happened in that game. A lot of things have happened. You have to get, as I said to Sean Marash, and I believe he never heard of the term, luck is the residue of design. When you are the two-time defending champion and you're, you know, the best team in the league and you're a dominant force and you're, you know, on your way to a dynasty, which they've met at least the criteria for me of winning back-to-back championships. That's, you can't be a dynasty without it. I'm not ready to call them a dynasty just yet, maybe, but they win a game, they win again this year, they for sure are. As Taylor Swift is out there, as I'm watching the highlights, Taylor Swift back in our lives every Sunday. But yeah, they get calls, they get luck. But that didn't change the fact that the Ravens had every opportunity to win this game. And I'm tired of seeing Lamar Jackson, who no doubt is super talented and no doubt deserved, I believe he was the MVP last year. And I think he's good enough to win these games, but he never does. He never does. And the same thing with Josh Allen, who's as good and talented as any quarterback in this league. Who, you know, has times where he's a turnover machine, but makes incredible plays. And that Buffalo Bills team has been, you know, Sisyphus pushing that rock up the hill year after year after year. And, you know, Mahomes, Kelsey, and Andy Reid are at the top of the hill pushing it back on them every single year. I just don't have faith in some of these other teams in the AFC to get it done. And we start this year thinking, who can? And I say, why not the Jets? Right, Val? Val's in the Bronx. What's up, brother, Val?
Brother Mac, I like how you feel about my squad, bro. How you feel about my squad. I got a couple questions I want to ask you about that. But, you know, just real quick, I'm going to leave the Yankee stuff alone because I want to see what the lineup looks like tomorrow and what the dugout looks like tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Based on, you know, the conversation we had yesterday.
Well, we'll see.
That's how I'm gonna get a feel for, you know what I mean? But I'm going to leave that alone because we ain't playing. But to get to the Jets, man, you know, you said something just now, right? And I'm starting to get, because, all right, I'm going to preface it like this. I look at football a little bit different than I look at, you know, the offseason for, let's say, the baseball season or even for the NBA. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And when players, like, in baseball, like, there was talk before this current season for us with the Yankees. And, you know, when Cole went down, it was talking about getting Montgomery or Snell or something like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the idea of that because those guys sit out. You need spring training to get that feel and that timing and all that stuff like that back. And to pick up somebody who missed all of that, you're getting them behind the docket at that point. In the NFL, though, I feel like it's a little bit different. And I'm starting to think that I need that alternative perspective that you were talking about with possibly trading them to somebody else because – at what point does it become like, you know, like I heard a couple of days ago, Salah was saying stuff like there's still a plan for him to be able to play on Monday night. The guy has missed training camp altogether. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I always feel like when they come back late like that, that's when you're looking at when is the injury coming? When is the tissue muscle? When is the ACL? Like, you know, and like holding on for him forever. At what point is it like I'm getting a guy that, even if he's on my squad, what can he really do for me? I know the prospect of who he is and what he can bring to my defensive line, what it could mean. But at what point does it become kind of defeatist to just keep waiting for this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, well, here's the difference, right? Like, because I mentioned the 49ers. And Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams. And the difference for me is he's never been a Jet. He's never been in the room. He's never been a part of a team. They don't know what they're missing. Like, I mean, we know. I mean, they're aware. He's a pass rusher. They know what he provides. They know what he's done. But he's never been in that room. He's never been someone the Jets have had to rely on. Like, you're talking, like, that's the difference for me in this game. Like, yeah, those guys are back, and Hassan Riddick won't be there for the game. But, like, and you mentioned the dynamic of coming into camp, yeah, without question, it is easier to miss football camp and come right in, and especially for a guy like Trent Williams at left tackle who knows the offense and he's been part of this team and he's built a camaraderie with his other members of the offensive line. It's not the same as baseball where you need to get in shape and see a certain amount of pitches and have a certain amount of at bats and prepare for 162 games. Yeah, of course, it's completely different. You are more apt to be able to step right back in and play. There's no doubt, but I do believe there's something. And I do believe that there's, you know, I do believe in game condition. Like, I do think no matter how healthy or what, you know, workouts you're doing, It's not playing football. You do need to play a little bit of football. And I'm not expecting him to be bad for half a season because he missed most of, if not all of training camp. I'm talking about one game Monday night against a very good Jet team. So, but your specific question about Hassan Reddick, no, I don't think it's a big deal. Whenever he's there to play, he plays. Now, will it take him a week to be at his optimum? Will it take him 2 weeks before he's at his premium? Or will it take 3 or 4 or 5, 6 weeks? I don't know that answer to that question. But what I do know is I don't think it impacts this team in a negative way because he's never been there. This defense was a top five defense without him. Now, look, did they lose Huff? Are you still concerned about your defensive pass rush? Of course. But it's not like they have seen how great he is, the impact he's meant to this team, and suddenly he's not there. And he's waiting in the wings. Like, part of the reason Williams came back was because he just wanted to be with his guys, right? And he saw his young wide receiver have an incident, and life is precious and all of that. And it was down to a human element on some level. At least that's what I saw and read. Like, I get it. And now he'll be back, and he'll be ready to go, and I'm sure he's going to play and play well. He's the best left tackle in the sport. But there is something to just the idea of what's gone on. Like, when you look at the 49ers here, and I think this is a huge game for the Jets, right? It doesn't kill. It's one of those, I don't want to say win-win, because obviously there's a loss possible, but I think a win can help buoy this team so much more than a loss would be defeating. Right, they're a 4.5-point underdog going on the road Monday night to the defending NFC champs, who are as talented a roster as anybody in the sport. Right, so if you lose that game, your first game back, Aaron Rodgers coming off an Achilles heel injury, hasn't played in a year, you know, it might take some time for him to be at his best. Plus, you are a little short in the pass rush, what at least you thought would be, whatever the case may be. Like, you could tolerate a loss. Now, you don't want to get blown out or embarrassed. That might question this team. But if you lose this game in a hard-fought game, you lose by a field goal, you figure out a way to make it close, whatever the case may be, it'll be a tough loss. You always want to win week one. But the rest of the schedule sets up for a Jet team to still get off to a good start. But if you win it, if you go into San Francisco and win this game, and Aaron Rodgers plays well, and this team that's had a lot of turmoil, like, you know, a lot of people are on Lynch in San Francisco, and he's gotten feisty with the media, and he had a long negotiation with wide receiver Ayuk and obviously his offensive lineman, and there's been some talk about how do you pay everybody, and Deebo Samuel's coming up next, and there's just, you know, that's the nature of the NFL. When you have a good team with a lot of talented players who win for you, you got to pay everybody, and just, it's a cap sport, and there's a lot of turmoil going on there and late arriving players, and, you know, Brock Purdy and whether or not he's a legitimate great talented quarterback or if it's a scheme and roster thing, and like, there's just, it just feels like coming off a lost Super Bowl. And if you look at the numbers of a team that loses a Super Bowl week one the next year, it's not pretty. I believe they're 5-19 against the spread. Now, I forget what they are. This is all my gambling prep. But it's not a, it's a, there is such a thing as a Super Bowl hangover. And if the Jets could ever win this game, the confidence I think it would instill. You are talking about a team right now who has been waiting to see what Aaron Rodgers can be for a year. A team that hasn't made the playoffs in 13 seasons. A laughingstock. Unfortunately, a laughingstock. That's not hyperbole. That's what they've been. Everything that happens, they're stupid. They blew it. Jets being typical Jets. A Jet's going to Jet. Right, you got the left tackle for the 49ers just showing up, a wide receiver for the 49ers, and Ayuk just showing up. And what's the bigger story between the two teams? That Aaron Rodgers went to Egypt in May because the Jets are the Jets, and the 49ers have won. And if in Aaron Rodgers' first game healthy, playing a complete game with the Jets, he leads them to a victory over the San Francisco 49ers, and then you get off to a somewhat of an easy, and I know the NFL, there's no such thing as easy, but you get off to a somewhat favorable schedule here, and you get off to a good start, and now you're breeding confidence into a team that's had to watch Zach Wilson lead them out of the tunnel every week, and now gets to see the Hall of Famer Aaron Rodgers do it? I think you can quickly change who this Jet team is, quickly change the narrative of who they are. you can quickly become one of the better teams inside this AFC, excuse me. And in a year where the Buffalo team had, you know, has lost a little bit because of salary cap, and a Miami team that people have lost a little bit of confidence in, and their defense is struggling and injury prone, you know, no all world cornerback, no Chubb coming off the edge as of right now. Like, they're, I look at Lamar Jackson and this Ravens team, sure, they're good, but in the big game, how do they play? Buffalo Bills team, in the big game, how do they play? Another top team inside this league is C.J. Stroud, second-year quarterback, for the first time dealing with expectations. This is out there for the Jets to take. I firmly believe that, right? Besides, obviously, Kansas City. Other than Kansas City, you got a Joe Burrow-led squad in Cincinnati, who's going to be playing in the best division, in arguably the best division in the sport, really, where you've got the Ravens, who are a quality team. You got the Pittsburgh Steelers, who offensively, I don't know what to expect, but I think we all know or feel they're pretty damn good defensively and always play the division tough. You got the Cleveland Browns, who, you know, what we've seen from the quarterback Watson in camp scares the hell out of you, but this was a historic defensive team as far as on at home, at least, last year, and they have one of, if not the best defensive player in the league. Like, that is a tough division that they're going to be banging heads against all year long. And they got a quarterback who has a history of not being able to stay healthy and fading the second he's down. This is the first year in, what, 3 years that he's had a full training camp and hasn't missed any time in camp, let alone the season? This is an opportunity for the Jets not to do that typical, what we typically talk about, like the ladder, right? The ladder, the progression. I know the NFL can be quick and you can turn around in 2 or 3 years, but there is somewhat of a ladder of, you get to a certain point. Right now, hey, you haven't made the playoffs in 13 years, go be a playoff team. Then the year after that, all right, go win a playoff game. All right, now go get your championship. The Jets could make that jump real quick. And they're going to have to, because Aaron Rodgers, you don't know if he's along for this, you know, ride of the ladder of progression. But when I look at this team and I see the offensive weapons they have, I see one of, if not the most talented breakout big play running backs in the league in Hall. You've got one of the better young wide receivers in the league, in my opinion, in Garrett Wilson. You got a legitimate number two with Williams, and you've got Lazard, who we can like poo-poo him, and he was terrible last year. He's a proven commodity with Aaron Rodgers. To go along with one of the better defensive fronts in the sport last year without Hassan Reddick, and possibly the two best cornerbacks, the best tandem cornerback in the league. Like, this team is good enough to do it. Now, they have to do it. But last night, as I'm watching the game, and I'm watching it, and I'm seeing the plays, and I'm seeing the opportunity, and I'm watching Lamar Jackson miss wide-open receivers to win a game, or I'm watching a defensive breakdown that allows Worthy to get behind them for a touchdown, or I'm watching them hit Patrick Mahomes late in a huge play that could have set them back to 2nd and 20 and given them another 2 minutes of time to get down the field, or I see them mismanage the clock, or I see all the things that happen that are so atypical of a big-time game against the Kansas City Chiefs, and I just think to myself, if they just don't make those mistakes, they've got as good a chance as anybody to upend this dynasty building out in Kansas City, which is how my little son Andrew pronounces Kansas City. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals. Who's playing tonight, Daddy? I'm like, the Chiefs. Oh, Kansas City? Yes, Kansas City. 888-808-1019. Who's going to beat Kansas City? Someone's got to do it.